Hey guys, it's Matt from Consider It Joy. Now, our day job is in Christian radio, and if you've even been casually familiar with Christian radio or Christian music, you've probably seen the memes. The memes, the jokes about the same 10 songs over and over, or heard about how there's no originality. So we decided, let's actually look at this objectively, even though we're in the industry. And we invited a friend of ours, his name is Mike Couchman. He's been around all kinds of radio stations, but a large chunk of the career in Christian radio. He's an industry leader. To talk about, are some of these myths, are some of them truth? What is real or myth about Christian music and Christian radio? This is Consider It Joy.
Consider It Pure Joy.
Happy, happy, happy joy, joy, happy, happy joy.
See if it sparks joy in you.
Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Well, there's been a lot said about Christian music and Christian radio in particular. And I feel like, you know, with any kind of myth or stereotype, there's always either an example or a kernel of truth that it kind of comes from. And typically we all have a pretty good sense of humor about it. And stuff like the John Crist comedy, I actually find it actually really funny.
Oh, yeah.
But we wanted to separate a little bit of fact from fiction today, because if you've been around Christian music, you've heard it all. You've probably seen all the memes. But we didn't want to do it all by ourselves. We wanted to bring in another friend from the radio industry.
So we reached out to a guy that we think can handle the chops. His name is Mike Couchman. He's with Joy FM and Boost Radio. Mike, welcome to Consider It Joy.
Hey, thank you. And can I ask a dumb question?
Please.
I don't know, like, what's the John Crist comedy? I mean, I know who he is and that, you know, he's a comedian, but like, I don't know what he says about Christian music.
So there's a lot that he says about Christian music.
Well, every song is in three chords, A, G, and D.
Okay.
And maybe one of my favorites is a number of years ago where it's showing a new band sitting down at a Christian label and they're signing away any originality and they have to change their name.
Oh, yeah.
And follow,
I saw that.
All of these. Yeah. All the structure, you know, of all the stereotypes of Christian music. And so that's a part of what we wanted to do today, is tackle some of these myths, maybe where they come from. Are they really true? And some of this will be a little bit maybe finger pointing back at ourselves. We'll see how it all plays out. But Mike, maybe let's start with this. Tell us about your background around Christian music and Christian radio.
So I grew up grounded to Christian radio because I got in a lot of trouble as a kid. So my mom was convinced that a lot of my bad choices were related to what I was putting into my ears. And I don't know, maybe she was right. So and Christian radio music back when I was a kid was not like it is now. Like our city had one Christian station and they had a lot of preaching and really old people's music on it. Like, my mom had me really young. She was in her, you know, she raised me in her 20s and in 30s, and like she was probably their youngest listener. And so I kind of loathed Christian music as a kid, but I always wanted to be in radio, and I always wished that there was Christian music that connected with people like me. And so I got started in mainstream radio. I did like top 40 and hip hop and country, and then I don't know, about 8 years into my career, I got my chance to go into Christian radio. And the first station, it was actually the first station I ever got to be a program director for, which if your listeners don't know, program director is like, that's the guy that or girl that helps to pick the music and DJs. And I was like, yeah, we're going to change the world in Christian radio. This job I have no experience doing. And I've still been trying to do that ever since with mixed results.
Well, so he says... Mike says mixed results, but honestly, he's kind of an industry leader when it comes to Christian radio, and that's part of the reason we wanted you on. You kind of know what you're talking about when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, stop. What's your Venmo?
I already texted it to you. Yeah. Well, before maybe we get into some of the more like finger-pointy type stuff, let's start with something kind of light. With the myths behind Christian music and radio, how about this one for us on the radio side? Somebody that says, oh, hey, you work in radio, any radio, You must know, fill in the blank, you know, with a famous artist or a friendship or something like that. So let's talk about, do you actually, as a radio person, get to know all the artists?
Oh, dude, I was just having dinner at Toby Mac's house the other night.
Are we really?
Don't even play, man.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, we get to meet them sometimes if our stations are, I guess, blessed enough to go to the occasional like industry convention or something like that. Or maybe if we get to go backstage. But like, you know, that's a one and done thing usually. Like, hey, I'm Mike. I love your music. And they might say, hey, that's so cool. Thanks a lot for playing my music. And, you know, maybe we also make a funny joke or say something meaningful. And they remember, oh, that one white guy at that Christian station in Bakersfield, he was kind of cool.
Yeah. And it is, there is an opportunity there sometimes, like you're saying, industry type stuff, where we may get the opportunity at a concert, at a conference or whatever, to get to talk to some artists. And every once in a while, maybe you develop that friendship a little bit. But no, there's not like a default setting. It's like, oh, hey, cool, you're in Christian radio, so can you invite me to Toby's house? And that kind of thing.
Can I tell you, you could edit this out because I don't know where your line is for what's appropriate or not.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
One time at one of those conventions, I was in the men's room and I was relieving myself. And to my left was Michael W. Smith and to my right was Mac Powell, formerly of Third Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ask yourself, like, how did I get to this point in my life?
Was that a peak of the career?
A peak
did you say anything?
No, I was actually like, I want to finish and go wash my hands and walk out before we make awkward eye contact.
I guess that's the big question, because I did broadcasting television, and I remember when I was a kid, I saw in the restroom my favorite TV anchor in the mall, and his name was Rick D'Amico. I'll call him out. Uh-huh. And he did not wash his hands.
Oh,
and
no.
I was mortified, but years later, I ended up being his intern, and I called him out on it. And he immediately went over and washed his hands. He's like, does that make you feel better?
Oh, wow. And did you ever shake his hand, or was it all fist bumps or just nods from across the room?
Yeah, I shook his hand like a week later. I couldn't do it at that point.
I think what Aaron is trying to ask is, did Michael W. Smith and Matt Powell wash their hands?
I don't know, because my goal was to get out of the bathroom first before we had to even have a conversation. Because as much of a fan, especially, I love Michael W. Smith's music back in the 90s. That was like, you know, when I didn't like any other Christian music, there was something about some of his pop stuff that I thought was pretty dope. But, yeah.
As somebody in radio, have you been let down by any of those artists in the past after you met them?
Only professionally. Like, I don't really expect them to be, you know, really amazing people, or hopefully not really awful people. I don't try to put any expectations on them that we don't have of each other. But like, if I have you scheduled for an interview, then, you know, I'm expecting for some good conversation. And Matt Thiessen of Reliant K, you guys know them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So I had an interview set up with him. I got it all going. It was, first of all, it was weird. It was in a hotel, and they sent me to his bedroom where there was literally nowhere to sit but on the bed with him. So I'm sitting on a bed with the lead singer of Reliant K, and I'm asking him, I hope they're decently interesting questions, and all he's giving me is yes or no answers. But none of my questions are yes or no questions. So
tell me about the new album.
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. What'd you have for dinner? No. You know, it's like, so kind of disappointed professionally, but yeah, personally, I've never really been let down. It's, you know, some of us are nice people and some of us are not, and artists are no different.
I found that to be a question that people will ask a lot, which is, what artists have you met that, you know, were big old jerks or something like that? And honestly, I haven't really experienced a lot of that. You do have the ones where you can tell they're having an off day, or they've been on the road all day and they're tired and stuff like that. But and that's good. I mean, in the Christian radio industry, you would hope that's the case.
Yeah. I don't want to name names on this one, but I did feel judged once by an artist. We had to go to like one of those schmoozola dinners where, like, you know, they've got a new song out and they're hoping that if you go out to dinner with them, you'll feel buttered up enough to go back and add the song to your radio station.
Yep.
And so we're waiting to get into this pretty nice restaurant that they picked. I wouldn't, like, pick a nice restaurant. I don't assume that somebody's loaded. And they we're just doing chit-chat, me, the artist, and his label person, and one of my coworkers. And somehow it goes into fashion and clothing and stuff like that. And I'm wearing, like, I don't know, some cheap but decent-looking shirt from, at best, I probably got it at Gap, but more likely Old Navy or Kohl's. And the jeans were, like, 10 years old. So I'm not looking frumpy, but I'm not looking, like, cutting-edge fashion. And the artist, in the conversation of where people buy clothes, the artist said, "Man, yeah, my wife likes getting all that, you know, like that junk at Target." And I'm like, "Honey, we're not poor anymore. We can shop wherever we want. Quit buying those like poor people clothes." As he's saying that, he's like literally scanning me from head to toe.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Well, yes. I would look at it in the sense that he doesn't know necessarily where the clothes come from. He's just thinking that's the type of clothes you have is the high-end fashion, so you got good faux pas stuff.
There you go. I think in his mind he was like, okay, is this Target or Walmart? This guy doesn't even look like he can make it to Walmart.
Took a direction I wasn't expecting.
Edit!
Yeah.
I want to bring this back to some of the radio myths for a second. Christian radio, we'll get this a lot on our radio plays. You guys play the same 10 songs over and over. Is that true for you?
Yes. I've never worked at any radio station in any format where that's not true. And I just don't know what you do about that. I like to explain to people, like, get 10 people that are like yourself into a room, just 10 people, and get them to agree on their 10 favorite songs. You will spend hours doing that because we're all different people. So you have to kind of narrow it down to what songs does that group of 10 people have in common. Because if you start playing only, you know, two of those people's favorite songs, then the other 8 don't want to be in that conversation, don't want to hear that music. So
yeah,
you always have to find the common ground. So, I mean, it's kind of a true accusation, but it's also not fair. Like, the Christian radio gets called out for it, but other formats also do that. Kind of our job is being good stewards of our radio stations is to attract as much of an audience as we can within reason without, like, you know, dumbing it down. But I just don't know how you get around that without, like, squandering the gift of a radio signal.
No, I agree. I just am curious, do you ever feel like in Christian radio, and we can jump all in on this, but do you feel like you're pigeonholed because it's always talking about the same thing, Jesus?
What do you guys think?
Well, I want to come back to the number of songs thing because I feel like we're missing one part of the conversation because it depends on the intent of the question.
Mm.
Because if somebody is saying, well, Christian radio plays the same 10 songs over and over, well, we do, but not a total of 10.
Right.
You know? So an average Christian radio station is going to have between, what, 250 to 300
songs? That's probably pretty
songs,
fair.
Something like
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So the reference of 10 songs over and over is the most popular songs, most in-demand songs. And they're played in such a way where if they're popular and in demand and you want people to listen to your station, you want when they tune in there to be a good chance that one of those songs is going to be playing.
Yeah.
So there's a trade-off between playing those songs more often, but not only those songs. You also have these other 200 songs that are playing as well, which every station kind of customizes and creates. So that's one of those instances of, yes, kernel of truth, but it is there's actual art form and a science that goes into it.
Well, I think that there's always a good reason for people to hear those famed 10 songs. It sounds like it, because those are the ones you're hoping to hear. I think that's kind of what Mike was talking about.
Yeah.
I've also been in situations where, okay, when I was young and idealistic and I felt that way from the outside looking in, I walked into that first radio station I mentioned that I programmed. They had like 800 songs in their library that were in active rotation, and they were getting repetition complaints like crazy. And so we started, you know, asking the audience, well, which of these 800 songs do you like? Which ones do you not like? And, you know, talk to the bosses about, hey, what is this station supposed to be about? You know, and from kind of a long series of asking listeners and talking to the bosses. We went from 800 songs to probably that 200 or 300 or so that most of the audience agreed on. And repetition complaints went down because people were suddenly hearing only the songs that they liked. So I wonder when people complain about repetition, some of it is they're hearing a lot of what they don't want and don't prefer.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it.
I'm never going to complain about too much ice cream.
Yes. Or to call out that song if every time somebody is tuning in, they're catching one of two songs that they personally don't like, then it's going to feel like way more repetitious. It's like for me, like I never mind turning on TV and it's TNT and there's a rerun of Return of the Jedi. I'm never upset by that.
That's actually good.
Let's come back to something Aaron mentioned, which is this idea of the myth that Christian music, it's all cliche. It's, you know, it doesn't dig into the deeper issues, social issues, theological issues. It's all fluffy, surfacey, Jesus-y music. And that's, there's so much more that it could be, but it isn't.
I don't disagree with that, but then I also come back to if you're trying to attract the largest audience possible within reason, you've got to go for the most universal content. And I remember my boss put it to me this way once. We were playing kind of a lovey-dovey relationship song on Joy FM, the contemporary Christian station. Boost is a hip-hop station, so a whole different vibe there. And it was a great song. It was really catchy. It was well-written. It checked all the boxes that a hit song would check. And if you probably put it out on mainstream radio, it would be a hit. And for us, the audience was just kind of like, eh, it's all right. And she was like, well, it's because it's not what they're coming to us for. And it's so singular about, you know, the relationship it was about. She was like, you really got to be, have been through what that person has been through to kind of love the song. And between a lot of our listeners just haven't been at that place in their life, and that's not what they were coming to Joy FM for, that explained why that particular song didn't do well and why for a lot of Christian radio stations, you kind of got some guardrails that the audience has put up and they want you to stay between.
Well, I agree.
Love that phrase, guardrails for it. Because, yeah, that's kind of, I think, what we've seen here, too, is that you have to think not just of what the songs are saying in this kind of sweeping generalization of, oh, it's too basic or too surfacey. It's what are people coming in for? What are they tuning in for? And we've seen time and again that the majority of people that are tuning in to Christian radio, it's because they're in the midst of a circumstance or something in their life where they want hope. They want that moment of reassurance. They're not necessarily tuning in to have to navigate some deep theology and eschatology or something like that. You know, it's meeting the purpose that people are coming to you for.
Yeah.
So are there other songs that have maybe more of a depth or socially conscious in some way from a Christian perspective? Of course they are. But maybe that's not what people are coming to Christian radio for. And so you kind of have the cyclical thing where that's what radio is playing more of to reach more people, like you mentioned, Mike, because it's what they're looking for.
I think cyclical is a really good way to put it. I think it's a pendulum because I remember growing up and, you know, my mom exposing me to Christian music and I'm, you know, sometimes trying to throw her a bone, so I'm exploring it for myself. And I remember in the 90s and early 2000s that it almost seemed like it was only a matter of time before the next artists crossed over. You had Jars of Clay, DC Talk, Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant, Switchfoot, Reliant K, POD. It was like, it was regular. And if you look at what kind of songs they were making, they were really a really wide range of lyrical content and styles. And but now if you look at where Christian music is today, I mean, you could make the case that Lauren Daigle crossed over somewhat and For King and Country Need to Breathe to a lesser extent, but that doesn't happen anymore. It's like once every 3-5 years, we're like, oh, wow, you know, Christian artists got to like number 38 in the top 40, you know? So that's why I think the pendulum has swung kind of in this direction, but I don't think it'll always be in this direction. Because when I think of like the difference between our two stations here, what the Boost audience responds to, That station's listeners are about 20, 25 years younger than our CCM station's listeners, and they really want honesty, vulnerability, authenticity. They want hard topics addressed, and if we just give them like some kind of light, fluffy praise God song, it's good a chance as not that they're going to feel the way about that song that our Joy FM listeners felt about the lovey-dovey relationship song.
I feel like the word truth is really big right now in just generalization for the world, our society today, because even artists like Maverick City, even Brandon Lake, these guys that are singing of late, they've been picked up from mainstream artists just looking at them because of the truth that's in their words.
Yeah.
A friend of mine showed up at church the other day because he was just broken. I had no idea. He called me in the morning at like 6. He's like, hey, what time is church today? I'm like, it's at 9 o'clock. And then next thing you know, he's in the parking lot at 8. So I'm like, all right, so there's something going on here. And it was because he was hurt. He needed some hope. Mm. And that's the idea with most listeners who maybe not turn to Christian music right away will turn right over to Christian music because they're looking for hope because they know the answer is Jesus, but they can't quite put a finger to it.
Yep. We did a research project for Boost a couple of years ago, and one of the questions we put out to the listeners that we polled was, like, what are you coming to us for, and what are you going through? And one of the ladies that responded, she was homeless, and she had found, like, a motel room that she could afford for, like, I don't know, a few nights that week, and she was Zooming with us. This was back, you know, when people were coming out of the pandemic and you couldn't talk in person as much. And she told us that, you know, she had just tried to take her own life a few weeks ago and had failed because her and her son's favorite song came on our radio station. And this is all revolving around the question of, like, what are you coming to Boost for? And, like, how deep do you want us to go? How fun do you want us to be and whatever? And, like, I think of, her name was Alex, I think of listeners like her, like, she's just trying to survive. She's just trying to stay alive for another day. Just give her, like, hope and truth, and she's good. She doesn't need, you know, to go deep into some kind of theology or wrestle with a complex topic. She just needs straight up, unedited hope put into her life because she wants to be alive for her son another day.
That's such a great example of, I think, why Christian radio in particular is the way that it is, at least when we're talking about contemporary Christian music. And it's because of those stories. And I get it. It's easy to be cynical. It's easy to point out all the things like, well, this could be better. There could be more variety here and all of these things. But from the outside, it looks that way. From our side, on the radio side, the amount of stories, the amount of research, of connecting with people, asking questions, it all kind of drives to this place. So again, it's easy to look from the outside and be like, it's the same songs over and over, same themes. But what we're actually seeing is stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually hearing from people that are getting what they need in a moment and wanting to make sure we can continue to provide that.
Well said.
Yeah, it's Christian music in a nutshell. That's why I think I'm shocked that it should be number one in every market because it's the one that provides the hope. I want to switch gears a little bit, though. I'm curious to you guys, because doing broadcasting, when I got into it, I was always told in school, this is the one job you're not going to make money in, so don't do it. But every time I go out to eat, I meet people like, oh, you must make tons of money. That's like one of the biggest myths, I think, in broadcasting in general. Television or radio, it doesn't matter. You don't make a lot of money.
Hold on here. In case no one else wants to Google it, average pay for radio personality, I just Googled it, $30,000 to $77,000 a year, which that's been my experience, you know, anywhere I've been. So people make more and less than that, but that really, you know, that first Google result's pretty on point. And I've never lived in California, guys, but tell me how far someone's going to get on $30,000 a year.
And I think it carries over from decades ago where maybe that was a big money job.
Yeah.
Because you're the personality on microphone or on camera, whatever it was. And so you're like a star. But those days are long gone. Like, it is, today is not what it was back in the, you know, 60s or the 70s or something.
Does that mean the Christian artists don't make a lot of money either? Do you guys think the artists make a lot of money?
Oh, I know they don't. I know some that are on our playlist every day that, like, they Uber, they DoorDash, they have other side hustles in between their concert tours or even on top of while they're touring.
It's interesting because you do run into that. Like we kind of mentioned earlier, sometimes you have build relationship or have conversations with the artists and you realize these aren't normal people. Like they are not living the high life. Like any industry, there's always an exception. Something took off for one or two of them and they're doing really well. But generally speaking, it's not something you go into to make tons and tons of money. But I think the other flip side in Christian music, it's kind of positive because you have guys and girls that are in this because of the ministry they know that it brings.
And sometimes free food backstage.
And free food, yes.
that's the best part about Christian radio.
That's true. Well, I don't know about your station, but it seems like we have food traipsing into our kitchen all the time from random places.
Yes. It's one of the big reasons I got into radio. I knew it wasn't going to make a lot of money, but like if I can score a free slice of pizza here and there, I'm in.
Seriously.
We've talked about some of the myths, a little more focused on the Christian radio side. Let's dig into maybe the music itself. There's one of the memes that I love, one of my favorites. It's mostly text, and it says, "This is a joke about contemporary Christian music. This is a joke about contemporary Christian music." And it says, "Key change. This is a joke about contemporary Christian music." And the idea, of course, being that it's just too repetitive. Christian music is just saying one thing and saying it over and over. Another one of those myths that, it does happen, but I think also there's a reason for it. What are your thoughts on that?
One of the big drums I remember consultants would beat at conventions when I was kind of coming up was familiarity matters. And I'm like, no, man, people want to discover new stuff to know and like. And, well, I've had the opportunity to go in both directions to like play only like the hugest hits that everybody loves and to be experimental and have a playlist that's really kind of discovery focused. And every single time I've went in the discovery adventurous route, it backfires if you're measuring success by ratings and other usual metrics. So yeah, maybe Christian music sometimes gets a bit repetitive in the chorus and the writing, but the reason for that is these artists are trying to get it familiar and sing-alongable as quickly as they can. And it's
also like going back to John Christ. That was one of his things. If you sing about a mountain, a valley, and a river, you have a number one hit in Christian music. I think there's some point to that, but I think the key ingredient here is kind of going back to what I was referring to earlier. When you use Jesus, I think Jesus has a response in Christian music that there's so many ways to describe him in joy, in hope, in love. And how many different ways can you describe joy, hope, and love? It always just runs back to Jesus in different avenues. I think it's okay to be repetitive in that sense when you're talking about him.
I also think it's one of those, like earlier in the conversation, we were talking about the, you know, Christian radio plays the same 10 songs over and over as if a top 40 station or a country station doesn't have the exact same kinds of rotations.
It's right.
One of those unfair accusations. Like I just Googled, all right, one of my generation's biggest anthems and yours, Shorty Got Low, Low, Low. Remember that song? All right.
Didn't expect that song to make its way in, but yeah.
Love it.
Can we cue up a kill? Don't cue up a clip. But anyways, I stopped counting here. I Googled the lyrics. I stopped counting at 22 lows. So you can't tell me that it's only Christian music that is repetitive.
Right.
Now, maybe it could be a little better at the art of repetitiveness, you know, but like that's such a intangible, you know, nuanced thing. I don't know how you go there, but it's just one of those accusations that I almost feel like people at that point, they're looking for a reason to diss it.
Right. Well, and music does that in general. There's a lot of repetition. That's, again, the familiarity factor and where it builds it in. Something else I saw somebody, I can't remember who, but it was a Christian radio person talking about, you ever read Psalm 136? That's the one where every other verse is, his love endures forever.
Mm.
His love endures forever. And it goes on and on throughout that psalm over and over and over.
You know what's crazy is, and as you were saying that, the actual song that maybe you guys play on your radio station, his love endures forever, it started going through my head.
It's exactly what I heard too.
Yeah.
I also heard the word Selah, because that's also used in that same psalm.
Well, Pavlovian.
Yeah. But that, I think, is a little bit of proof on why repetition is used. You want the singable song also, not just Christian radio, but pop radio or whatever, and repetition creates that. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. I think it's a real unfair comparison. And add on to that, that in Christian radio right now, obviously worship music is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
And worship music is about singing worship.
All right,
and if
Aaron,
you're going to sing worship, you're going to repeat.
I'm sorry, Aaron. I know you lead worship, so no offense, but when I go to church and the worship leader is like, let's all learn a new song together, I hate that. I don't want to learn your new song. Now, I know I have to. I know I have to, because in 2 or 3 months, you know, if you bring it back up in the service again, I will like it. But I know I'm not at church to be entertained at all. You know, I'm not there for my enjoyment. I'm there to learn and glorify God and be part of a community and all that. But I don't want to learn the new worship song. And, you know, I don't think a lot of our listeners do either. So
just like as a radio DJ as a PD, a program director, sing unto the Lord a new song. You always have to add something new. But if you do it right, just like the repetitiveness, and this goes with worship leaders out there, when you introduce a new song, the goal is to do a lot of repetition at the beginning. You sing the chorus with the church congregation, if you can, twice or three times. And I learned that from Paul Balash, who was doing teaching a worship seminar. But it goes with the same day. I think we've done this when we had like a new for King Country song, Daigle, something that's big. We know it's great. We're going to want to play that song as much as possible the first couple days. So that way it doesn't seem so new out the gate. Is that something that you would do?
I've tried variations of that, but yeah, I mean, generally speaking, for most stations, our thing is how quickly, within reason, can we help this song become known to our audience so then they can decide how much they love it or not.
I agree. I tried that actually a couple weeks ago with Praying in Lakes, Praise You Anywhere at church, and immediately they latched on.
Because they knew it from hearing it on the radio probably, right?
That's exactly why I lead worship and play Life FM music songs. That's it.
Half the time, I think our playlist ends up being just a test for what he's going to be doing in church.
Don't tell anybody.
Sorry. Industry secrets kind of stuff. Yeah, and there's also the familiarity. So when you hear a song that's been on a long time, same idea on the radio. Or it's almost like, if you're flipping through the channels and you catch Africa by Toto,
mm-hmm.
or Come on Eileen, or Hotel California.
Shorty got low, low, like, low.
Nobody ever catches it and says, I'm so sick of this. They turn it up. And I know Christian music is a little more niche than that. It's not quite as widespread as songs like that, but I think the effect is the same thing. Or in church, in the context like you're talking about, Aaron, there are songs that all have that same kind of cynical attitude for older worship songs, like, nobody sings that anymore. We're tired of that song. But if a year later you're doing like a whatever the big song is, and then you work that old song into it, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's that song again, you know? And so, yeah, it's that unfair comparison sometime to say that song was used too much, or that one's too old, or that one's too repetitive. They have a place that actually works with those functions.
Yeah, and also think about where people are exposed to Christian music versus where people are exposed to most of the other popular genres. You have basically two avenues, three avenues to be exposed to Christian music. Your local radio station or the national one that's piped into your market. You seek it out yourself on Spotify or Apple Music, or you hear it through church. Like, that's it. But mainstream songs, if you never catch a huge mainstream hit on the radio, at some point it's going to go viral and someone is going to put a clip of it in your Instagram feed, or at some point it's going to be snuck into a movie or a TV show. It's going to be licensed for a commercial. There are so many different ways that mainstream music can become familiar and warmed up and then faster loved, where Christian music has so few outlets to get those songs warmed up so that you can become familiar with them. And I just don't meet a lot of people that are, give me the new thing that I have no relationship with. Most people are, we have comfort zones. We like what we know and we know what we like.
You know, speaking of like and the Christianese kind of things going back and forth in mainstream, I'm curious, like a Christian myth, all right, for radio, that when you work at a radio station, and maybe this is the case for you or for us here at Life FM, everybody here, I believe, is a believer, but do you find, like, in Christian radio that maybe a myth would be that everybody you work with is a believer in Christ?
You know, at the stations I've worked for, yes, as far as, like, in the building, you're talking, like, full-time employment in the building?
Yeah, in the building, in the full, I know that sometimes...
Yeah, I've experienced that most everywhere I've worked, at least, you know, outwardly they said so. Only God knows our heart, so I assume the best.
Wow, good answer.
That is a good answer. But also, I think, you know, for the most part, if somebody... It wouldn't make a lot of sense for somebody that doesn't believe the gospel to work in Christian radio when they could probably find somewhere else to make more money, mm-hmm. or at least an attempt to make more money that way. Christian radio isn't at the top of most lists for people that say, I'm getting into that so I can make the big bucks.
Yeah. Well, and it's a really specialized, what people are coming to us for is specialized. What we're passionate about is specialized. And I think of, like, if I was trying to find a new radio job right now and I was searching the trade websites and I came across like a country station, they would want somebody who relates to the country lifestyle to be on the air at that station. They probably wouldn't want me because I kind of have I'm a middle-aged guy, but I, in the past I had a hip-hop lifestyle, so I don't think that would translate to a country listener. If I was going to, I don't know, a high-end Thai restaurant, I wouldn't want someone from Five Guys cooking my food. I love Five Guys, but I'm expecting a little something different out of that restaurant. I want someone with experience in that specialty to take care of me.
You know, I'm a little curious here with I know Matt is this case. People would say, so the music that you play is the music that you must listen to outside of your job. But I know, and I'll let you, Matt, you can answer this.
Mm-hmm.
Boost, of course, Joy FM may be a little bit different. But like here, like we play a lot of adult contemporary music. For myself, when I'm outside of here, I will listen to a lot of worship music because I'm a worship leader, but I would love to go. I go back to 1990s rock, early 2000s. That's what I tend to listen to. What do you guys listen to? Is what you play on radio? Is that what you listen to at home?
Matt just listens to Star Wars soundtracks
on repeat. Nothing. If John Williams isn't on the credit, it's not in my speakers. Yeah. No, I grew up around Christian radio and Christian music my entire life. It's a little of both. It's not my go-to because I was a hip-hop fan, but it was always Christian hip-hop. So I grew up starting with the hip-hop days of DC Talk and then into all the other Christian hip-hop artists. And so I've always loved that stuff. But there's also the side where it's kind of like when it's your day job, there are artists that I love on our playlist. I love Toby. I love Andrew Rip. I love Stephen Stanley. And there's artists like that. But when I have it on all day long, because it's your job, mm-hmm. it's like I need a complete change of pace. So when I'm getting in the car after work, it's either like a news radio thing or hip hop, but something that's just drastically different just to mix it up.
Yeah, I would say I'm a mix it up guy too. I do like what our stations play a lot. But sometimes it does feel like work because I start, I forgot to do this, or, you know, because some of the DJs report to me. I'm like, oh, I'd like to talk to them about doing that different. Like, I can't just, sometimes I just, to unplug, I have to not listen to Christian music. So my go-to can be NPR and a little bit like what Aaron was saying, 90s stuff, early 2000s stuff, yeah. Probably late 80s to early 2000s, especially hip hop and house music.
So we've covered some of these myths, some of them true, some of them not, or some of them maybe just unfair comparisons. So like the repetition, you're playing the same songs, their music thematically is too repetitious. Well, I don't know that it's too repetitious, but there's a purpose for why it is what it is. But there are other myths that we have busted, like the artists make a lot of money or the DJs make a lot of money. Not the case. Are there any other myths that come to mind, Mike, that maybe you've come across people wondering about or claiming about Christian music or Christian radio?
Yeah. I don't know where this fits into to that. So, but I was just thinking, you know, if you flip around the dial of almost any community, you're going to hear somewhat of a variety of music choices. It may be somewhat vanilla depending on where you live, or it might be kind of spicy, right? But it's all some variation of some sort of mass appeal music, rock, country, pop, hip hop, whatever. And it's like all those people that come from all those different universes, they think of Christian music and they all force their expectations of whatever their favorite thing is onto Christian music. And so how can Christian music possibly live up to the standards of both the Americana fan and the freestyle 80s music fan? You know, it's like there's just a lot of, I guess, expectations being assumed and hoped for from a variety of places. And, you know, maybe one day, you know, if heaven has radio, it'll be a dial full of diverse Christian choices and that'll be amazing. But for the most part, it's contemporary Christian music that is the financially viable, you know, radio format that pays for itself to minister to people and not. And people have tried other variations of Christian radio with mixed results. Some do okay. Boost does, thanks to our sister station in part. But other stations, you know, have tried, you know, scratching one of those smaller slices. Scratching a smaller slice of the pie. You know what I'm saying.
No, I like it. I like it's a new good phrase.
Yeah, there you keep go. That. And others have you know, tried and it didn't work because, you know, the support base for that narrow thing they were trying to do just wasn't there, either advertiser or donation. I was going to say another unfair assumption is that Christian music is cheesy and low budget. Maybe those are two different things.
Yeah.
But you can't honestly turn on like a pop station these days and hear Nicki Minaj's update of Barbie Girl and tell me that, you know, mainstream music is not just as cheesy. Like, come on, give me a break.
Yeah,
I get it, though. There's that you brought it up earlier about this is like my grandma's station. You listen to Christian music and you as soon as you turn it on, you don't even have to hear like a word, but you hear the sound and you're like, you know what? That's Christian music. Turning
certain
it.
Type of production.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's the idea of the cheesiness.
Yeah.
But what holds people here is the words.
It's well said. Sorry. I didn't mean to say well said again. You can edit that out.
No, say it strong and we'll keep it.
Keep saying it, man. Keep saying it.
Once again, that was well said.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us about all this stuff. I find myself, because I'm naturally cynical, I'm naturally skeptical, and so I tend to relate to some of these things that people think about the repetition and so forth. And I've kind of gone through all those phases from I love and live Christian music to getting older and teenage years are like, why do I like any of this? It's terrible. To coming back around, you know, and just how God has used it throughout the years in my life. One last thing. Let me ask this. That thing that people should not say or ask a Christian radio DJ, what comes to mind?
Oh, man. Wait, we covered some of it. Let me think here. Oh.
Let me give you one.
Okay. Yours and mine might be the same. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this one isn't just Christian radio. But this is one thing not to say to a radio DJ. Oh, cool. You're on the radio? Yeah. My friends say I have a really good voice. Can I try?
That's a good one. That would be second to the one I was going to say, which was for people who, you know, they find out we work in radio and they like something that we play. Oh, can I get tickets to such and such concert, or can you get them to do a selfie and send it to me or autograph something? Like, yeah, no, you could go to their website, look for their manager, just the same way I could. They're not going to give me any more special consideration than what you're going to get.
Yes, the can you get me tickets always kind of gets me.
Yeah.
That's really funny, because for me, it's when I tell somebody I do Christian radio, and their response to me is just, oh. And that's the one that gets me.
Okay, can I ask you guys this? And I don't know if you'll want to make it in there. I wrestle with that, because the word Christian has such a connotation to it, for better or worse, now, because it's become mixed up with your politics and all kinds of other things. So, like, how do you... I wrestle with, how do I describe my radio station to people? Because I am not afraid of my... And I'm not ashamed of my faith in Jesus Christ. But I know that Christian is such a loaded term that I struggle with how to describe my radio stations to people in a way that would make them want to try it. Even some Christians, they hear the word Christian radio and they don't want to try it. You know, like a lot of these accusations that we've been talking about tonight come from our fellow Christians.
True.
I would say this. We had a podcast earlier on Considerate Joy, which I encourage everybody to listen to, with Cecil Ramos. He's a missionary in Thailand. Well, he called himself no longer missionaries. They refer to himself as global workers. It's because missionary has had bad connotation with in their area with the people they were speaking with. I look at the word Christian, this is just me, and I think of the first church and the first group of people. They were Christ followers. They were a bunch of Christians, is how they call themselves, or the way. I've decided of late on this new generation of people that I've been seeing coming up that are young. I actually tried telling people, I'm at a station that plays music about Jesus. And that's just clear as it is, because if Jesus is the answer, no matter what, Jesus offended people in the day, but truthfully, who are we singing to? Who is the music for? And it's just about Jesus.
That's real good.
Yeah. And I think even more than that, we had another conversation with a Christian artist, and we took the approach of, can we use the term or the label Christian when we're even talking about music or anything else?
Yeah.
Whether it's Christian radio, Christian music, Christian whatever. And so I think, Mike, at least for me, where I fall on it, because I'm in the same boat with you, where it's like, you don't know how that word is going to be interpreted by the person you're telling. So it is easier to use the term for easy reference. You typically know what that means. But that whole discussion of what do we label as Christian, that could be a whole nother podcast altogether.
I'm curious about you, Mike. What were you saying that you use? What's the term you use?
I don't know. I wrestle with it. So then I'm trying to, like, you know, with my psychic skills, I know Christians can't be psychics, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, like, all right, how will they react? Which way should I say it to this kind of person? You know, like, what are they,
right?
What is it they would want to hear that would actually make them curious and not, like, you know, give me a dirty look? I remember one time Boost was brand new in St. Louis. This is like 8-9 years ago, I'm wearing one of our shirts, and I'm at a museum in the city, and the guy's like, Boost, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's clean pop and hip-hop music. And he goes, oh, so you're judging what I listen to, and you think that what I listen to is dirty? Like, oh, no.
You know, it probably
is, yes, but I didn't want you to feel judged.
Look, when I grew up, and I was always afraid to tell people that I listened to Christian music. They would ask me, what did you listen to? I'm like, oh, I like Michael Jackson, because I felt that was safe, and the 50s and 60s music, that was okay. But when I gave my life to Christ, it was right before the song Jesus Freak came out. And when Jesus Freak comes out by the band DC Talk, those of you listening, if you don't know what that is, Jesus Freak, check it out.
I was so mad about that song. Anyways, go ahead.
Right. So here's the thing. I had no problem telling somebody I listened to the song Jesus Freak. Mm. And everything in that sounds Christian, but it's just about Jesus. And I don't know, I guess it goes back to my phrase of saying I am on a Jesus music station. But Jesus Freak, I mean, maybe that's what we should just call it. Jesus Freak music.
There you go. I mean, yeah. It's, you know, it's there's the Gandhi quote about, I like you know, I like Jesus or I don't like Christians. I don't remember the quote, but basically, like, even people who would not identify as Christian identify with a lot of, you know, the Beatitudes and what Jesus said. So I think there's something there. I also want to say, I'm guessing people who have made it this far into the conversation, they're kind of invested into either the criticisms or deflecting the criticisms. And we are in such a polarized culture right now. You know, you've got to pick one side or the other, and there's just so much division. And in within the church, you know, I look at how the enemy is just even dividing, you know, Christians against Christians. And I just go back to the older I get, you know, being slow to speak as the Bible commands us to. And so I, you know, even if I feel a certain way, that doesn't mean that how I feel, even if it's a valid, correct feeling about Christian music or whatever, doesn't need to be verbalized. And right. I also think about if someone's so passionate about it that they're going to speak up, well, then instead of just, you know, lobbying, you know, rocks or snarky things from the sidelines. And I know sometimes, you know, you're John Chris and you're just, according to you guys, you know, I remember that one video, but, you know, sometimes you're just trying to get, you know, views and build your brand or whatever. But at some point, if you really truly care about it and wish it was different, then, you know, jump in and do something about it. And I think of Life 88.3 and how you guys are like great Christian music, but also like fun friends to be with. And the word fun and Christian radio does not go together for a lot of people. But instead of, you know, we could all kind of bemoan how some Christian stations are boring and whatever, and sure they are, but it's pretty easy to complain. It's a lot harder to get in and actually be part of changing it. And you guys won a Station of the Year award, leading the way, showing the rest of the industry that you can make Christian radio a fun experience without sacrificing any of the heart of what we're all about.
So I guess we cancel out that Venmo as we send the money back to you. Yeah. Well, that's very kind of you to say. Thank you. Yeah, I am. Again, growing up listening to Christian radio, the station I grew up listening to, honestly, it wasn't good. It just, nothing about it was good. The music was about 10 years behind what was current. The DJs, I don't know if I ever heard them sound like a human being. And I had always told myself when it looked like I maybe had a direction on Christian radio that I don't ever want to be on a station that I wouldn't want to listen to. And so, yeah, that's why we just, you know, we're talking music and industry stuff, but I think there is that other side to Christian radio too, in authenticity. The people that are sharing, not because they've got it all figured out or they're holier than thou, but because they're on the journey with everybody else who's listening and kind of walking that path alongside them.
I'm giving you the slow golf clap here.
Oh, man, look at that. It's good. By the way, I think you have a great response there, especially sometimes be careful. Just slow to speak and think about where you're at. That's biblical thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, this has been awesome. I'd love to do this again sometime. Maybe next time we'll talk about the myths of the Christian radio DJs themselves. Which maybe we shouldn't do. I'll be too cynical.
We're not all handsome, just the three of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're the exceptions.
Yes, yes. Everyone else does have a face for radio.
Well, Consider It Joy is a production of 88.3 Life FM in Bakersfield, California. And you can listen to us there every weekday on the 88.3 Life FM app. You can also find all the ways to listen and connect at ConsiderItJoyPodcast.com. Thank you for being here.